Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And tonight we are joined by the wonderful, the fabulous Thomasina Meyer. We are in Mexico. No, yes. We're not. We're in Thomasina Meyer's house.
Which is not in Mexico, I can confirm
that. It feels like Mexico though, Ellie. It's very hot.
Hot. It's really hot.
So would you like to introduce yourself? You know yourself better than we do. So go on.
G'day.
Who are you? What are you doing?
My name's Tommy.
What have you done with your life?
Oh, crikey. My name's Tommy. I like cooking. I like food. I like dancing. Mm-hmm. I like parties. I have three girls and I'm really hot. Like, as in, not sexy hot, but like,
temperature.
It's sweltering here.
I would say both.
I would say both.
Go with both.
Double hit.
And you're being very modest. You have one actual master chef, for goodness sake.
She's actually award-winning, Ellie.
You have put things in Greg Wallace's and John Turode's mouths that have made them explode with joy.
They didn't do it back to me.
Have a new book, Tommy. It's called Home Cook. And we're in your home.
Yeah, I know.
Have you cooked for us? No, you fucking haven't.
I know.
We've got kettle chips.
I know, she gave us some kettle chips. I'm actually very happy.
I could easily whiz something up.
Don't.
Because that's what I do. And that's what I tell you about in that book. But so far we are. Can you hear? Look, wait. Ready?
That's a quality kettle.
Yeah.
That's not your Lidl.
And I tell you something else. She says they're kettle chips. I didn't see the packet. I'm calling Doritos.
Oh, my God. It's a Dorito gate.
Oh, no, another one. Jesus, save us. Lord, save us.
So kick us off, really. Tell us about your family.
So there's a lot of love in my family. We've got definite, like, strains of madness. We've got kind of, like, suicide, schizophrenia, bipolar, you know, the whole thing going on.
Oh.
But so much love. So that holds us all together. So I think I'm a bit of a hippie like that. So I've got a twin brother who is amazing.
Called Thomas.
I should have been obviously a boy. When I came out of my mother's stomach, my father cried because he thought that he would then no longer have a boy. He already had an older daughter. But he got my brother afterwards, so that was all cool.
So is your brother called Tommy for short as well? Because I would imagine that could be quite confusing.
He's actually called Dyson or Dee Dee.
Oh, right, so he's not called
Thomas.
Yeah,
that was made up.
No, I was just doing some comedy, Ellie.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I've had some milk stout that you kindly fed me.
Oh, my God.
It is delicious, but very drinkable.
What are we drinking, Tommy? We're drinking milk stout.
Milk stout, which I picked up when I was obviously breastfeeding, because stout's full of iron.
Mm.
And very important to drink when you're breastfeeding. What I meant to say is iron's very important when you're breastfeeding.
Stout just happens to be a good source.
Yes,
I mean, it's
exactly.
A mere coincidence. That's more than anything.
Yes.
So who lives here? How many children have you got?
I've got three children here. I think actually, if the world wasn't so populated with people, I might just keep going forever. But I've stopped. So I've got three girls. No dogs yet. I've been told by a friend of mine, he's an eco-warrior, that a dog is a waste of environmental points.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Apparently it's as bad as having a Range Rover in terms of the environmental impact.
Really? Wait, are environmental points like net points? So like, if you get a dog, you can't go to Alton Towers for free. Is that how it works?
Fucking right, yes. Ellie, absolutely. That excludes that, dog or Alton. That's it. Don't you know?
What about Chessington, if you've got kids?
That's a bit shit, isn't it? It's nearer.
That's
so
two a penny,
fine.
That's fine.
My mother always promised us she'd take us to Alton Towers, and we never went.
That's why
I'm so scarred. That's why I work this hard. You can tell, can't you?
Let me say, I've been to Alton Towers several times, and I'd say I'm more scarred. So I think you've got off
lightly.
There's
only losers here.
Yes. So you've got the three
children. I've got
children.
Three children. Husband, obviously, who is great. Very good husband.
Well done, you.
They're
a rare breed these days.
I know. I actually felt I ought to have three boys because I felt there lacked some good men in the world. I was like, I thought, you know, I could produce some good men into the world, but no, just more feisty women.
Bloody awesome women. That's a good thing.
Can't have too many of those.
No, so exactly right. Yes.
Unless you and I have had several pints, which you totally can.
That's when really great women go really bad, really quickly.
Yeah. Great women go shit. Yes.
Yeah. So let's get straight into the food chat, I reckon. So your new book, Home Cook, is... Well, I mean, you describe... Can you nutshell it for us?
So it's kind of like a gospel, this book, because my agent said, this publisher wants you to write another cookbook. And I said, no way. There's no way I'm writing my cookbook. And he said, no, but this is great. It'll be of your column, because I write a column in The Guardian. And I said, but I don't have time to write it. So I, at this point, said, please, can you just leave me alone?
Were you pregnant at this point? Was this during...
No, I only ever get pregnant once I've signed the book deal. And
then you say, fuck me, husband. I've just got a book deal. Yeah. Let's have sex. Yeah.
So basically, I kept trying to say no to this book. And I felt like a book of my column felt like, what was the reader getting? There's like too many cookbooks in the world. And then because my agent kept saying, this is a really great publisher and this is a really great editor, I was thinking, well, maybe I could write that book that I've been wanting to write. But I've always thought, I don't have time to write this. I'll write it when I'm 50. And eventually they ground me down and I thought, maybe I can write this book. Because the column, my Guardian column, is basically accessible food. It's fun food, though. It's like around the world. It's spices and fun and infused flavours and marinades and great sauces. But it's easy and it's doable.
Mm. But it's for people, I would say, who love food, like the book is. This is for people who do like cooking and want to cook and try a new thing. It isn't just about, you know, here's how to make pesto in 30 seconds.
No, but it's not restricted by a time limit or ingredients or a kind of nationality. You've just said, this is what I love.
It's taste. It's all about taste. It's got to taste good. And then, so basically, I've been cooking since I was six. I just wanted to be by my mother's side. I was a real mummy's girl. So I literally had a wooden spoon in my hand from the age of six. And from then, I've been cooking. So at about 14, I started cooking dinner parties for my parents because I just needed to earn some money. So that was a good way of earning money. And then...
Were you like, look... Mum and Dad, it's this or lap dancing. I need some money.
Bombs or vulvas.
Dad actually thought lap dancing would be quite good when I was very broke at university. He was like, you can earn a lot of money doing that, darling. My mother was like, what?
No, not my girl.
So anyway, it was the wooden spoon. And then I used to cook for friends. And then I had dinners at university and I was always trying out new recipes. And then in my 20s, when I had a flat, always stuffed full of people... cooking, experimenting, and it's just what I've always done, but always on the hoof and on the fly, because I mean, you know, you never have enough time in life, particularly once you become a mother and you're working. So this book is for people who think they have no time to cook, or people who think they don't have enough time to cook more. It's like modern day Mrs. Beeton. It's those shortcuts. It's like how to use your freezer so you've always got the next really easy, delicious thing in your freezer ready to whip out. It's like when you really want to have friends over, but you think, I don't have anything. It's like, oh, yes, I can pull this out and pull this out. And suddenly there's some food on the table and I haven't spent a fortune and I haven't spent loads of time. Because nor do you want to be chained to the kitchen stove the entire time because you've got young people to run after and like you've got to make some money as well and all that stuff.
Mm.
So part of it is that every recipe's got something at the end, which is what to do with the leftovers or what to do with that bottle of pomegranate molasses I've just asked you to buy. Well, look, here's something else you can do with it. Yeah, just scull it.
It's a great laxative.
Tell the kids it's rye beaner.
Yes. Yeah, that'll have them going round and round.
What do I do with all this coriander?
Yes, it's a fine substitute, I find.
Yeah. And then a bit of it is anti-diet, because I feel like a lot of people are telling us what not to eat these days. And I think people should say what to eat, because food should be about fun and about embracing it. And I think it's great that people are eating less meat because obviously that is good for the environment. But I don't want to be told what not to eat. I just want to have fun with food. And, you know, in my 20s, when I was kind of, you know, eating too much and then eating too little, then eating too much and eating too little, I was just suddenly like, this is shit. Diets are shit. The moment you tell yourself not to eat something, that's what you want to eat.
Exactly.
So this is a kind of, this is like a creed of like, embrace food, enjoy food, eat chocolate, eat olive oil, eat butter, eat whatever you want. We've all got different DNAs. We've all got different bodies. We all suit different foods we eat anyway. So the idea of one diet fits all is frankly rubbish.
So word.
But then how do you try and eat healthily at all? Or do you just go, whatever I feel like, I'm just going to eat it?
So I do eat healthily. I do eat healthily. But not in a kind of, I like to feel good. So having spent years in my 20s full of like, you know, Haagen-Dazs, donuts, you know, whatever junk food that I could, you know, eat. It makes you feel quite bad when you are like full of like that type of food all the time. So I guess when I started cooking, that's when I started creeping out of this kind of quite bad eating relationship. And the more I cooked, the more I found I loved vegetables. And like, look, if you stew courgettes in 100 mils of olive oil, they taste amazing, especially put 3 cloves or 8 cloves of garlic in. And wow, look at that veg shop. Look at those tomatoes. They're amazing. Let's cover those in olive oil. Or look at that butternut squash. Like, rub it in chili. And suddenly this whole...
Look at that olive oil. Let's just drink it.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. Definitely drinking olive oil. That butter. A lot of butter on my taste. Yeah. I mean, basically, who... Like, these people who have, like, peanut butter without butter. That's weird.
Oh, that's incorrect.
It's incorrect. Oh, butter, then the peanut butter.
A sodden buttery toast and then the peanut butter.
Exactly.
Is the correct way.
Yes. If you're putting Marmite on your toast and there's not enough butter that it blends into a sort of buff sort of tan lotion paste, you are doing it wrong.
Oh my God, here are the people.
Preach!
Yes!
Yes, but I don't believe we should all worry about what we should eat. But don't eat Marmite wrong. Speaking of which, I've got two words for you, Thomasina. Perhaps you can settle an argument.
Yeah.
Hawaiian pizza,
oh,
ham and pineapple. Where do you stand?
So this is a very interesting debate.
Come on.
This is really cool.
This is like question time. Okay.
Obviously the Hawaiian pizza, dig a lass. But then I was in Mexico and the best ever street food taco in Mexico City is called El Pastor. And that is a lot of delicious neck and shoulder pork layered up with onions, smothered in achiote, and there is a big pineapple on top. Mm-hmm. And it goes around a spit, Lebanese style. They got it from the Lebanese immigrants.
They know what to do with the pineapple,
that pineapple
the Lebanese,
gets
famously.
Charred and caramelised, and the juices drip down that fatty pork, and it works.
Mm.
And then I was in Oaxaca, Central Valley, Mexico, and I was eating a salad the chef had cooked me, and he was slicing pineapples with the tomatoes. He was like, the tomato is a fruit, the pineapple is a fruit. And I began to see pineapples in a whole different way.
Hang on.
Olive oil, salt, pepper, pineapple. And this whole new pineapple world opened up before me. I still wouldn't go for Domino's Hawaiian, though.
Mm.
I have, and I will.
There you are.
Okay. Let me throw this curveball at you, okay. Thomasina. Tommy.
I'm ready.
We're friends now.
Yeah.
Guacamole.
What is a crocodile's favourite food? Crocamole.
Oh, there we are. Come on. I was like really thinking, is this a thing like it tastes like chicken? I'm trying to be too clever. So guacamole, tomato or no tomato?
So, well, and
do you say tomato or do you say no tomato?
Tomato.
Say fuck off.
I think it depends on your mood. I think it depends on your tomatoes. If you're in the like height of summer and they're tasting and looking juicy and sweet, why not chuck in some tomato? I take the seeds and the juice out though. But in the middle of winter, you might think, I do not want tomatoes in my guacamole. I just want it smooth. Sometimes you might want no garlic. Sometimes you might.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
For me, never garlic.
Yeah, you see,
never garlic.
Yeah,
why?
Because it's such a strong flavour, especially raw, and it just rides all over the avocado. It just messes all over its face. Go on, give us your take on garlic and guac.
What would, if someone said, "What's your favourite guac?"
I was just getting it, like, so I was in Mexico like 6 weeks ago, and I had this like avocado sauce, and so apparently all guacamole, as long as it's got avocados, coriander and lime, that is guacamole, and you can make it any way you want. But this was like a really quite a thin, so hot, this guacamole, and it's this kind of sauce that you drizzled over your steak tacos, and it was unbelievable. It was like fiery hot, very citrusy, and then pure avocado. I'm sure no garlic and no tomato was in sight.
Let me throw this into the mix: a pinch of ground cumin.
Now that really is a curveball. I mean, if you don't want garlic and now you're putting cumin into your guacamole,
just a little.
I shall try it.
If I see it in your next book, I shall send you an invoice.
The Gibson twist.
How much is a tip like that?
Oh, thousands. I mean, you tell me what your earnings are from the book and I'll send you a percentage.
Well, The Sun once wrote a piece about me quite recently, and they said I earned millions, like at least like 75,000 for talk.
Right.
Yeah, I was a bit stunned by that. I was like, really?
Who is this Thomasina Myers? Why don't I have three houses?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Excellent.
I feel better now. I've solved all my food dilemmas, by which I mean I
guacamole.
Am right.
You're a purist.
She's a little
so
bit.
So what's a cumin doing in the guacamole?
I had this old Mexican, not actually Mexican, like a British book of Mexican cookery.
And it said just
and all the recipes were dreadful, apart from the guacamole recipe, which was like, skin the tomato, see the tomato, put no garlic, cumin, bit of ground coriander as well, actually.
Oh, nice.
And
it's good.
I've made it for literally 20 years, everyone goes, that's really nice, that's really nice guacamole.
This is the best day of your life. You just told Thomasina Myers how to make guacamole. The cheek!
And now, honestly, you can carry on with the rest of the podcast. My work here is done. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. You are so welcome.
That's a top tip. Anyway, look, continue the food check, because you've done a lovely book about home cooking and you've got children. Let's talk about cooking with kids. Because I'm sure our listeners want to know, how do we do it? Do you do it in real life?
I do cook with them. They are good eaters, but it's quite hard also. I mean, it's quite hard getting good food down a child's gullet.
Isn't it? When there's oven-baked pizzas.
Baked beans, definitely. Baked beans, definitely. That's a really good Sunday night staple, but baked beans.
But there's a nice recipe in there, actually, for homemade baked beans.
The great thing, though, about homemade baked beans is you can give that to adults and they'll just literally go gooey, weak at the knees. That's good. Making men weak at the knees. I mean, that's quite fun. And literally, homemade baked beans does that to men. It's really weird. It's just a thing.
Thomasina speaks out.
Yeah. It's
a thing. Put your vibrator away. It's beans I'm talking about. Beans means cock. Good.
Yeah. So I'm afraid this is the house where it's like, that is your supper. If you're not eating that, that's what you're getting, or you go hungry. Actually, that does sound a bit hardcore, but they did just definitely grow up. I was like, that's your supper. And I was quite kind of adamant about that because I didn't want to start doing other stuff. I don't want, but then I have this thing that you go out to restaurants and I resort to the kids' meal. And then I say, no, that's ridiculous. I don't have to have the kids' meal. I can give them something they might have at home. But no, I mean, we grow vegetables in the garden and I sometimes make them eat the greens. But, and then in the end, they're like, there's no biggie. But yeah, I mean, one of my best recipes in the kids' chapter of Home Cook is some chicken thighs, which you fry and fry and fry. It's the best recipe. It's crispy fried chicken thighs.
Oh.
You know, just because I'm not cooking chicken nuggets doesn't mean they can't eat what they want.
So quite often I try and cook a meal for the whole family. Like my kids will both eat steak, which is great. So have like a nice steak and everything.
Mine will not.
But sometimes, to be honest, I'm just knackered and all I want is like a really nice piece of fish or a thing and I want to take my time and I will just get stuff out of the freezer, give it to them, and then they'll go to bed, frankly, happy. I think it's about balance, isn't it? It's about what works for you.
It's definitely about balance. So, like, Friday afternoons, we might go and get pizza or, you know, it's definitely about, you know, even, like, cheese sandwiches, scrambled eggs for supper. But I'm afraid I am a bit neurotic about buying. I go to the butcher to buy meat, and we don't have it that much. But I feel it's not, like, injected with antibiotics, which I have a fear. I fear meat. I fear meat. That I don't know where it's come from, and I buy milk that's been come from cows that have eaten on grass because I think it's got more vitamins and nutrients. I know not everyone can afford this, but I feel if I can vote with my pockets and my purse, I can vote for a farmer who can actually afford to pay himself a living wage and for cows that can actually eat some bloody grass instead of being stuck in feedlots eating grain that's flown from across the world, which has been grown in places where rainfalls used to be. So I have this whole ridiculous thing because I work in food. I know it's the biggest consumer of energy. It's the thing that chops down the most rainforest. It's the thing that uses up the most water. So every time I buy food, I'm conscious of where my money's going to and what it's supporting. So we don't eat that much meat. Like in the weekdays, we eat a lot of vegetables. And in the weekends, we eat meat that is more, it's expensive. It's definitely expensive. But it's a treat. And people don't spend as much money on food as they used to. And some people can't even afford to spend that on their food.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What would you say to someone who said, I would love to give my children milk that comes from grass-fed cows, but I can't because I've also got to buy them shoes and I've got to pay the gas bill.
Exactly.
So what do you
say
to those people?
And also, they don't even have access to it because I live next to an amazing market and most people don't. So what I would say is buy chicken livers and make delicious things with chicken livers or pate. And I would say,
children eat chicken livers, really?
And will pate they? Disguised under cheese and in
tell
between
them it's
tomato
Angel
jam.
In terms of the cheap cuts of meat,
the market is quite cheap, you see. Like, the fish at the market is so much cheaper than any fishmonger. And they do sell at the market. They do sell scrag ends of lamb and cheap mince. And it's cheaper. And I know some people go, oh, markets, they're so rich. You know, it's for the rich people. It is if you're buying all the pre-prepared food. That's really expensive. But if you know what you're doing, and that is a kind of another beef, that if people don't know what they're doing, how can they feed themselves with good food? Because they don't know how to cook it.
And then it becomes about time as well, because if
time
you're working Monday
thing.
To Friday full time, if you've only got a time in your life where you can only go to the supermarket for an hour a week and that's your thing for your weekly shop and that's your budget, then how do you do that?
These are all very good questions. I think, my husband gets driven mad by my like obsession with the market on Sundays, but then I feed him a sausage sandwich and he normally shuts up. So yes, I mean, some people are literally these days juggling two or three jobs to make ends meet. It's really, really tricky.
Yeah, there's places like Aldi and stuff who've all of a sudden done organic food, and the cheaper supermarkets, I think, are listening to the demand. If you can't go to a market, there are organic options.
But I think even food, and this is what my book is still about, it's like it doesn't have to take hours. So dried beans cost nothing. You can soak them. Well, they do cost something, actually, but unless you nick them. But you can soak them one day, you can cook them the next day, and you can eat them the day after that. It's if you know what to do with them. You'll always be at home at some stage. But there are some people who obviously don't even have good kitchens, and you know, lots of social housing now build kitchens that are tiny that fit a microwave, and then big rooms where you can put the TV. So then, you know, it's all a kind of chicken and egg. My thing would be to say, teach cooking in schools, build affordable homes, build them with a bloody size good kitchen in them, because we are what we eat and we are what we buy, and the planet is what we eat. And that's why vegans, I no longer give a hard time to anyone who's vegetarian or vegan. When I started cooking, I was a meat-loving kind of, you know.
You were a proper carnivore.
I was a proper carnivore. But now, like, let them eat veganism. I mean, they're saving the planet.
Apart from vegan cheese. Blech.
Yeah, no, vegan cheese.
No.
Yeah.
Meat tofu. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, that's the weird feminist backlash. It's like in the 70s, everyone was trying to get the women out of the kitchen. And now, like, I definitely consciously called this home cook, because there's nothing wrong with... And this is the other thing about affordability. If you go to Mexico or India or Thailand or North Africa, even like the poorest diets, sometimes they're the best. Like, so you don't have to get fancy with your ingredients. I guess that's the thing. Protein can come in many different forms and make a bit of time for in your life, because it's like it's survival. If you're not eating,
yeah.
If you don't eat, you die. So like, that's basic tools of survival, and yet there are so many people who just can't even feed. And then they outsource it to companies who make profit by feeding people really shit food. You know, cheap fats and cheap sugars. Shove the food with that and we'll make lots of money and send it out to the masses. And that's how, that's their business model. So like, you know, that seems to me crazy. Why would I allow my life to be in the hands of someone who's just making money out of what I eat? So, anyway, there we are.
Done.
Basically, pineapple on a pizza, that's a no-no.
But we're all human. And, you know, women are beaten up the entire time for what they look like, what they wear, what they put on, what they don't put on, what they eat, what they don't eat, how they behave. So it's like, you know, do a little. Just do what you can, you know. And just by picking up a wooden spoon and a chopping knife, you've walked a step forward. And, you know...
Just don't go near your husband when you're feeling cross.
Just don't go near your husband when you're feeling cross. And eat some bloody ice cream when you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
And a cheese toasty.
Yeah. I lived off. I did a university exchange at the University of Glasgow, and I lived off what I called cheese sliced pasta for 5 months, in which I would boil up some pasta because I had no money, and I would put a cheese slice and a dollop of pesto and mix it through, so it was a nice sort of creamy consistency. Oh, and I lived on that for 5 months.
That's quite classy. I used to get a chicken super noodle. And then boil that up for 3 minutes with the requisite MSG packet.
Yeah.
And then just put a slice of Kraft cheese on the top and mix it all in.
See, this is... Oh. I think you and I were basically having... It was noodles and cheese slice.
Yes. But at least you cooked pasta and had pesto, I mean.
That's grown up.
That's good.
Very good.
Up. Now, so this book is your... You know, it's your sort of... It's all your favourites.
Yeah, cabbage on toast.
What's your... Or I guess if you could say to the listeners... There's one recipe in this book you should make. This is the best one.
If you're going to buy my book...
God, I feel like this is like asking her to choose her favourite child.
I think it is. Who is your favourite child, by the way?
I mean, by the way, look. Can I just say, this is the most delicious dinner. Leeks are really cheap.
Yes.
This recipe is leeks on toast. You melt them in butter. They collapse after 15 minutes. And then you poach an egg, or you can fry it. I like fried better. Yes. My husband likes poached.
Obvs.
And then you mix up some chipotle with some tahini and some yogurt, lots of garlic, and then that's your dinner.
I'm practically aroused. Thank you.
It's arousing. That recipe is
arousing. Thank you.
So the other thing to do is, like, at the weekend, make your kids some pancakes. If you want to go fancy, make them with buckwheat, but then make a whole stack of them and then just fill them with spinach and creme fraiche. And then shove a layer of, like, cheese on top and then bake them in the oven. That's great Sunday night cooking. Love that. Make the pancakes and then
I would eat
savory
that.
Style.
Spinach and my children, I mean, they're not fucking Popeye. Let's just say that.
we
cover them enough cheese and they will eat stuff. I tell you.
They see green and they panic.
We've had to fucking blindfold them, Thomasina.
You have to get them picking. You have to grow some stuff in your porch. Okay, buy a fillet of smoked mackerel from the supermarket, warm it.
Which are about £1.47 from Sainsbury's.
Yes, so warm it under a hot grill with some miso smeared on it. miso butter and a few chili flakes. Smear that over your mackerel. Warm it gently under a hot grill for like 4 minutes and serve it with a delicious avocado salad covered in sesame oil.
Oh, come on. Giddy come on for that.
Really nice.
What's this called, Thomasina?
Duck legs with silky, rich Veracruzan tomato sauce.
Oh, talk us through it. Talk us through your
no
recipe.
No one doesn't want that. Let's no be honest.
Yes,
okay,
on.
Duck legs. You braise them for an hour and a half till they're falling off the bone.
Yes.
You want the legs. The breast goes all like hard and dry. Legs,
not
easy,
my breasts.
Easy, easy.
Not my breasts. She's got great breasts.
You braise them, all the fat comes out, and then with that duck fat, you fry your onions and your fennel and your carrots and your celery and your garlic, and you get it all still there, soft and sweet. You're frying those vegetables for like 20 minutes in the duck fat. They go sweet, sweet, sweet. Then you chuck in a couple of tins of tomatoes. You can obviously use fresh tomatoes in the summer.
Oh.
Shove it some capers in, shove some olives in. Put in the oven with a lot of sherry. I mean, I'm talking 100 mils.
That,
decent
is
cup.
Is that enough?
And you are in Veracruz. Veracruz is on the eastern side of Mexico. It's where Cortez landed. And he brought over all that Italian stuff. He brought over the capers and the olives. And he took the tomato back to Italy. And that is why the Italians are so snobby about
ding
their
dong.
Food.
Take that, Italians.
Yeah.
You a Brexiteer? Is that what this is about?
I am not.
No, good.
Oh, excellent. That was amazing. Thank you. I feel like we've been on a culinary journey.
I've learned things, Ellie. I like.
By the way, the other best cheat is if you have got your friends with you, and obviously you haven't had time to make a pudding, make a homemade chocolate sauce. Lots of dark chocolate, tablespoon golden syrup, knob of butter, some milk or cream, and a couple of tablespoons of tequila. Vanilla ice cream, and everyone will be eating out of your hands.
Oh, wow.
I think it's time now, if you don't mind, Tommy, for a game.
Okay.
So I like a game in the podcast, okay, Thomasina. Good. Okay. And I've called this game, Would You Put That In Your Mouth, Thomasina?
Oh, that's not a lot I wouldn't.
Okay. And I've listed some things here.
Okay.
And you've got to say yes or no. I'll go fairly quick fire. Number one, Frey Bentos pie.
Yeah. I said, what kind of pie is it?
What's steak and ale.
Yeah, definitely.
Done. Yes, that's
okay,
one each.
One each. A microwave burger.
Ooh. Yes!
No!
No! Okay, olives.
Yes.
No.
Ooh. Old El Paso taco kit.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good girl.
I love a taco kit.
Oh. Do you like the El Paso?
I prefer the Oaxaca ones.
Correct. Next one, liver.
Yes, as long as it's not overcooked, in which case, never, ever, ever.
I would never put it in my mouth, so I'm going to say no. Right, and this is in a pate. Does that count? Does it
no,
count
no, no, fucking right, no. Fine. I want a seared liver. No, you're not doing it.
I've got 700 grams of chicken livers in my fridge.
I mean,
Ellie's not pleased.
Unless
that's a euphemism from drugs, I'm not interested.
I obviously have to make Ellie my chicken liver pate recipe.
Binder's crispy pancake.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Minced beef and onion.
Do you know what? I think I tried one the other day, like
really?
4 years ago, and they were a bit rank.
Oh, so no.
She point for Gibson.
Thomasina won't put it in her mouth.
Look.
Angel Delight.
Yes, the chocolate flavour.
I'm going to go butterscotch.
Hey, ooh, butterscotch. Of course, it's butterscotch.
We're neck and neck.
Neck and neck. All right, okay. Here's a curveball. Primula squeezable cheese.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Prawn or spring onion?
Oh, the prawns are good.
Is it? I've never even gone the prawn, Thomasina.
That was a trick question. I'd eat all of them.
Can I have a slice of cucumber on mine, please?
Ooh, oh, nice.
Fancy.
Oh,
she's a fancy lady.
Oh, the duva. Now, here's a drinks option.
Okay.
Would you have a nip? Of whiskey. Neat.
No, it's disgusting.
I love whiskey. It's
do
like
you?
Yeah, it's like running through my veins.
Ooh,
it's like a typical choice.
The fat. So would you eat the fat like on your roast ham, on your...
It's the best bit.
Are you a fat...
Yes!
Lover?
Yes! Yes!
Thomasina loves fat!
Yes!
I love it on the subject.
Okay,
when you get
now.
A lamb chop, why get it French trimmed? The fat on the lamb chop is the best bit.
That is the
exactly.
That is the flavour. That's the best bit.
Well, at the end of that round, I can confirm, sadly, that Tommy has won.
Yes! Yes!
She will put more things in her mouth than me.
Woo!
On a serious note, was that better than winning MasterChef?
Oh my God, the rush, the thrill, the win. The win.
And you've got a gobby South Londoner and an Australian. It's like you're recreating it, really.
It's not about trying. It's about winning.
Well, it's time now for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
It is dun, indeed.
Dun, dun.
So my Scummy Mummy Confession is that sometimes, like on a Saturday or a Sunday, me and my husband will be like, oh, what should we do with the kids today? We've got a day just to ourselves, you know, really nice. What should we do? Should we go to the park? Should we go to the Horn and Mills Museum? Should we, like, do a thing? And then sometimes we'll just look at each other and we'll go, shall we go to Blue Water and go to Oaxaca? And we go, yes, yes, that's what we'll do. And we get in our car, even if it's a lovely sunny day, and we drive down to Dartford. And it's just glorious, quite honestly. Sometimes one of us will take a child to the cinema, yes, while the other one wheels the other one around at the buggy while it sleeps. And then that person will maybe spend quite a lot of time in Jo Malone and the White Company. But then we always reconvene at Oaxaca, which has camper vans that children can sit in. Yes. So they're absolutely over the moon.
Yeah. Talk us through, because we have people... our podcast is listened to in 100 different countries.
Okay.
So talk us through your restaurant and your pork pibble.
So Oaxaca is Mexican street food, which is fresh and zingy and full of flavour. And it's pretty fast to eat, but it's really good quality. And it just tastes great.
Have you got a Scummy Mummy confession you'd like to share? Is there a story of parenting failure you'd like to get off your chest?
Parenting failure, God, so many. How about this one? So we were in the park, and I like to bring up daredevils in my daughters, and I am obviously a daredevil. So, you know, we were always going down the death slide when I was heavily pregnant, and then I was putting them on quite young. So Ottie, number two, was on the death slide. She likes to go quite fast. And I thought, this is great. So I was doing my normal, like, run-up, you know, and then pushing her off. Except this particular run-up, I really, really pushed her quite hard. And I was just like, no! As I saw her accelerating fast towards the end. And she literally just went, pachoo! And then she was hanging on with one hand, as all these parents in the park were like, no! Like this. And then they all collectively turned and looked at me. At which point, I literally shriveled into the smallest speck of dust and tried to, like, disappear into the ground. Ottie was fine. I still am traumatised to this day.
I like it, though. I like that you've got that. So I think you've got to raise them to have a sense of adventure.
Yes,
and,
it's good.
You
know,
I was so proud the way she just carried on hanging on with one hand.
I think we've come to the end of the podcast.
Sadly, thank you very much, Tommy.
Wow, yes. It's a pleasure.
Our book is always out. It's called available. Scummy Mummies.
Look, I've got a copy for Thomasina.
And of course, your book is out. It's called Home Cook. It's fab. And do you have any, you know, how would you review your book? How many stars out of five?
It makes a great guacamole in there.
No tomato.
Yes, I think that's it, isn't it, Helen?
That's it, yeah. Please subscribe to the podcast. Just go to iTunes and click subscribe. Check us out on the Instagram and the Facebook at Scummy Mummies. Where can they find you, Thomasina?
Getting scummy.
Getting scummy. Go see Oaxaca.
Come to Oaxaca and eat some fish tacos. My kids love them.
Until next time, listeners.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Threaten with the pancetta and...
Do you want to try my trifle?
When? Wow.
What,
is
now?
That
a,
is that a euphemism? Her husband's away.
It does feel like the start of a particular film. Three women, drunk on milk stout on a Monday night.
Talking about cream and then all of a sudden it's gone
trifle. Do you want to try my trifle? Well, obviously.
I made my trifle for my six-year-old's party and that was that whole quandary of like...
Sherry, no
what
sherry.
What do you soak your... Your sponge. In.
Again, this is going a bit Lesbos.
So what did you go for? What was the answer?
Well, I thought I'd dilute the booze with apple juice.
Oh, right.
So that you'd still, you know, because the flavour would be impacted.
Yeah.
And I figured that a massive trifle, tiny bit each, that wouldn't matter.
It's like practically having cow poll, it's fine.
Yeah, but they didn't like the trifle.
Oh.
And then my husband said that, do you know why they don't like the trifle? It's just so alcoholic.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.